The passage that I was given to speak on this morning was just two verses, verses 16 to 17 of Psalm 55. But I thought it would be good for us to hear the whole of the psalm. So Helen's going to come up and read it all to us now. And if you want to follow along, it's on page 575 of the Church Bibles. That's Psalm 55 on page 575 of the Church Bibles.
Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshippers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. As for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning and noon I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you.
Thank you. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word this morning. Psalm 55 is a psalm of David, written at a time when he was feeling low, when he was feeling stressed, defeated, being under threat. And not just from the usual suspects, his enemies, but in this case, he was also being betrayed by a friend. And under these circumstances, he turned to prayer. And in verses 16 to 17, he said, as for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress. And after being given these verses to speak on, I read through these words. I call to God and the Lord saves me. I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. And I was immediately transported back in my mind to February 2020. And the last time, as far as I know, that my life was in serious danger. I was on the mainland, driving home alone from a weekend away, and the electrics on my car started to fail. And in all the confusion caused by all these signals flashing up, I took a wrong turning and ended up on a busy so-called smart motorway. No hard shoulder, lots of busy traffic, and a great high barrier on the left. And it dawned on me that if the car conked out there, I was in serious trouble. I might never see home or Helen again. and I prayed out loud constantly until I was able to get off that road. And the prayers weren't particularly eloquent or even particularly coherent. It was just, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Over and over again. And he did have mercy. I cried out in distress and he heard my voice. I called to God and the Lord saved me. I was able to turn to the Lord for help in an emergency, just like that. And actually, it's an amazing privilege to be able to do that, if you think about it. It's easy to forget what a tremendous, glorious privilege this is that we have as believers and children of God. And so for the next few minutes, I'd like to talk to you about the privilege of prayer and share with you as to just why prayer is such a privilege. I remember last time I wanted to see my doctor, and this was in the days before you booked online. And I had to ring up the surgery, speak to the receptionist, make an appointment, and then I was told that he'd see me in about 3 weeks' time. And I had to live with the problem, the uncertainty, the discomfort for 3 weeks until I could get a diagnosis, let alone anything to make me better. But at least I got to see him, because that was bad enough. But except in very exceptional circumstances, you or I wouldn't have a hope of getting to speak to someone like the King or the Prime Minister, or even a member of the government. I remember that some years back, I was concerned about a particular government policy, and I wrote to the minister involved. And I waited. And eventually, I got a reply, but not from the minister. No, I got a reply from a junior official in a completely different government department. And he hadn't addressed the points that I'd raised at all. He just restated the proposed policy, and without explaining why, said that it was a good policy. I don't think that the minister that I'd written to had read my letter or was even aware of its existence. Well, what do you expect? You're probably saying, people like them haven't got time to listen to plebs like you. Well, true, that's always been the case. But God does have time for people like you, for people like me, for people like us. He does have time for ordinary people. In fact, he invites us to come to him, to speak to him, to bring our concerns to him. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honour me, he says in another psalm, Psalm 50. Our access to him is by his own royal invitation. And we don't have to make an appointment first. And don't forget, this is God that we're talking about. When we pray, we're addressing the Creator, the Almighty God, him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. The one whom, Isaiah says, has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand and with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens. Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in the balance? It is he who invites us to call on him. We're urged in the letter to the Hebrews to approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this is possible for us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. If we trust in him, if we put our faith in him and follow him, the Bible tells us that God the Father reckons us as being in Christ and sees us, as it were, through the filter of his Son and hears us when we pray to him. This literally allows us access at any time into, as it were, the throne room of heaven. And he's always there for us. You can see now why I describe prayer for us believers in Jesus as a privilege. He invites us as individuals to call upon him, to bring our requests, our concerns and our prayers to him personally. We don't have to go and find a priest or an especially holy person to speak to God for us on our behalf. Though, of course, it would do no harm to get such a person to pray for us as well. No, we have the privilege of being able to speak to him ourselves. And I'd really like to emphasize this, that prayer isn't just something for the most spiritual, whatever that means amongst us. It's not just for priests or ordained ministers, or to make this more relevant to Bethany, it's not just for the elders or the preachers or whatever. Prayer is open to all believers in our Lord Jesus without exception. This is actually one of the founding principles of churches like Bethany, and why we usually have one or possibly two periods in these family services when anyone can pray to the Lord out loud if they wish. No, prayer isn't just for the especially spiritual amongst us. Let's just look at some examples from the Bible. Many of the great prayers, the great Bible prayers, were said by ordinary people. There's Hannah's prayer at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. She was an ordinary wife and mother. Then there's the tax collector in Luke 18 who prayed, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Which, of course, he was. And, of course, the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23. And there's other examples. There's Abraham's servant. There's Samson's father, and so on. None of us should ever feel that we have no right to pray. God calls on each of us to pray. God calls on me, and he calls on you to pray. Your family needs you to pray. Your community needs you to pray. This church needs you to pray. And prayer is a privilege that deserves to be exercised. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the Lord says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." God has promised that he will hear and that he will answer. But more than that, in the book of Isaiah, the Lord said, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." God desires to answer our prayers even more than we want them answered. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount: "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" These are all reasons why we can offer up our prayers in faith and have confidence that God will hear and God will answer. Now, there's a lot of talk around at the moment about privilege. People speak of white privilege, male privilege, class privilege, the privileges that come from having the right parents, having the right contacts, having gone to the right school, of being in with the right crowd, of having a face that fits, and so on and so on. And there's no doubt that some of these privileges are real. They do exist and they can convey real advantages. And there's no doubt that as Christians, we have the tremendous privilege of being able to come into the presence of God, a privilege that our Lord Jesus Christ bought for us. And we know that we will be heard and that we will be taken seriously, that we've been adopted into God's family, and that being in Christ, our face fits, as it were. And as with all privileges, there's the question, What are you going to do with it? People use their worldly privileges to their own advantage. Worldly privileges give people a measure of security that others don't have. And people can take advantage of that to enjoy themselves, which is not itself a bad thing in moderation. They take advantage of that to protect themselves. Again, not in itself a bad thing. Where it does become a bad thing is when privilege is used only to one's advantage, or if it's misused. It's absolutely fine for us to use the privilege of prayer to pray for ourselves, as David did in Psalm 55 and in numerous other psalms, and as I did on that smart motorway back in 2020. And although it's possible to misuse prayer, using it to get at other people in the room while addressing God, or praying for something that goes against God's will, or to show off how spiritual we are, we can be sure that God won't answer those prayers, at least not in the way the person praying them wants them to. James, in chapter 4 of his letter, tells us that. No, the real danger is that we only use this privilege for the benefit of ourselves or perhaps our families. So let's use this privilege that we have of being able to come into the presence of Almighty God at any time without an appointment and know that we'll be heard and taken seriously. Let's use this privilege, or continue using it, for the benefit of each other, for those around us and for those not around us. And also to further the work of the Lord. We actually have the privilege of being able to advance the kingdom of God by means of our prayers. And this is something that we can all do. We can all do it. The Apostle Paul once asked, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gifts of healing?" To which the answer is no. Every individual Christian hasn't been given every gift. We can't all go out and further God's kingdom by our deeds. I know that when I was younger, I took part in some evangelistic programs and I was absolutely terrible at it. I probably did more harm than good, if I'm honest. We can't all be missionaries or evangelists or school workers or whatever. Some can, and if they have the gift, then they should. But not everyone can, despite all the attempts to guilt trip us that some missionary societies do indulge in. We can't all do these things, but we can all pray, every one of us, even if we can't get out of our home, out of our chair, out of our bed. We can still pray and therefore share in the privilege of being able to advance the kingdom of God. And don't forget, our prayers can be effective. They can make a difference in places where we can't go physically. We can pray for people on the mainland, in Poland, in Africa, in Asia, in Australia, or even up in space, and know that the Lord hears our prayers for them. There may be nothing we can do for them in a physical sense, but prayer can make a difference, because although we can't do anything, we know one who can, and he listens to us. And this is why people who spend a lot of time in prayer, prayer warriors we call them, why they're needed so much, they're so essential. The true power in the church, in our church, and indeed in any church, lies not so much with the preacher or the leaders or the doers, essential although all these people are. The real power source is those who know how to pray. Prayer opens doors. It hinders evil. It touches the sick. It convicts people of their sin. Prayer works, and our need is for more people to pray. Prayer is the most useful thing we can do to further the Lord's work, to further his kingdom. So to sum up, it's a great privilege to be able to pray directly to Almighty God. When we exercise this great privilege, we can make a difference on earth and in heaven. We can reach beyond today and touch tomorrow. Prayer is a great privilege, so let's remember to do it. Let's remember to use it, to exercise it at every opportunity. Let's pray now, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our Father in heaven. We thank you that we can come to you at any time with our prayers, our thoughts, our concerns. We thank you that we don't need to make an appointment to speak with you. We thank you that we don't have to only pray to you at set times, even though set times for prayer are good, but we can speak to you at any time. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to get some holy person to pray for us, even though that is also good, but that you hear and welcome our own prayers. We thank you that we can, as the Bible says, approach your throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to come before you and to pray for our friends and our neighbours and our families, for those far and near. Please help us to remember this and to do this more often. And we thank you, Lord, that by doing this we can further your work. Lord, we thank you. In the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.